Morning, everyone. It's good to be here. Beautiful day. Trying to get over my nervousness here. For some reason, I just had a hit of nervousness. Before, when I preached on a mission morning, usually I had too much, and this time I thought, oh, good, it's mission morning. So I'm going to start, and when I'm done, I'm going to finish. So bless you as you listen in this morning, but I'll try and mind the Spirit as we go through the morning. I think if I was to give my message a title, I would title it, The Meeting of Mercy and Justice. Guess probably been brought to that for, or to that thinking for more than one reason. Various things that have come to me, but before I get into the message, I'm just going to kind of go through a personal story, and some of you may have heard it. For some reason, I think the first time I spoke for Hassan at the campgrounds up there in Paisley, I shared this story, but I'm not quite sure. Anyway, some years ago, a pastor friend and myself had made plans to travel to Minnesota for our winter's minister meetings. And my friend gratefully did the booking. He got the tickets booked, and we had plans to meet. He was from a little bit out of the area, and we were to meet at a parking lot, and we met there, and we drove down, I believe, either Detroit or Buffalo to fly to Minnesota. Anyway, me and him both somewhat having things in common in our work with our churches at the present, had a lot of things to discuss, and it started right from the beginning. We just talked and talked and talked and tried to solve all the world's problems and then a few more. But anyway, we got down and we got to our airport, and we went in, we checked in and checked our time and everything as far as our flight. And in that time, we thought we'd have time to grab a bite before we fly. And so we sat in a restaurant just around the corner of the gate, and we were enjoying our lunch and, of course, talking and talking some more, solving some more problems. Anyway, apparently, our names were called on the sound system. We didn't hear. Several times they claimed, and all of a sudden we checked our time. Oh, it's time to go. And we just up and around the corner, and just like that, we'd click. We saw the door close to the loading chute of the airplane. And this was after 9/11. Before that, if that would have happened and they were there, they would have let you on. But they said, sorry, we can't do that. There we were. Well, we did the next best thing we could, started troubleshooting and talked with them. And they tried hard to get us on a flight that evening, but there was none available, none open. The following morning, they had one. Of course, my friend was supposed to speak first thing in the morning, and we were only arriving about the time he was supposed to speak at the airport. So that was that. But anyway, long story short, it was our mistake. We messed up. We had everything in front of us that we needed, the time, the gate. And through our absent-mindedness, forgot time. But they took on the flight the next day. We didn't have to pay. You could think the truth of the matter was they had room on that flight. So justice was done. They weren't losing nothing. We had paid for our ticket. But rightfully, they wouldn't have had to put us on that plane free of charge. But they did. They gave it. They had some mercy. They allowed us to fly with them without the extra costs. Of course, we had the night stay in the city that we had to pay for, but that was, again, our problem. You know, there's a story in the Bible that we're all acquainted with and very familiar to us, and that's the story of Noah and the ark. There was a door shut on that ark, in that traveling, closed the door to the outside world. Noah and his family were on the ark. And Noah and his family were on that ark because he found favor in the eyes of God. Recently, I've been pondering the very thought of having that favor in the eyes of God. Noah was a man that was obedient to what God had called him to. But there's something I want to press on us and remind ourselves that Noah was a man just like you and I. And I know there's some people, some commentators that would read into his drunken state and say it was a complete mistake, but he was still up to him to make that choice to know. Just like my friend and I going on that plane, it was his mistake or his sin. He was a human being. It gives me some comfort to really think of Noah, a man after God's own heart that fell in sin. We could take more in the Bible. We could take David, a man after God's own heart. He fell in sin, and yet he was a man of God, and I believe he was justified through righteousness. And that's the hope that I want to leave with you this morning when we think of mercy in a fallen and a cursed world. That doesn't mean that we don't have some strong choices to make and decisions to make to turn around and walk with God as best as we know how and put effort into walking with him. Last week we had the privilege of helping out my sister cater a wedding. And through the discussion as we were catering, I kind of caught on that it's extremely busy. I have a brother that does it as well, and apparently it's just crazy. Everybody wants to get married this summer. Probably because things have opened up, but you know what? The very sad part of it is a lot of those people are only choosing to get married now, have lived together, but because it's open, they want a party. And that's where we are. God's mercy pours out, and his righteousness, justification to the wrong being is of the man, to the man that follows after and desires God's heart. Romans 6 says, God forbid that we continue living in sin when we've accepted the grace that God has given to us through salvation. We need to remember that God is a just and a holy God. And he desires the intent of your heart of following him. If we have no desire to follow him and worship him and bring glory to him, then let's not call ourselves Christians. Because in retrospect, we're not. If we're hiding behind a false image of the church, I'm sorry. God sees into the very intent of the heart. And the day the door of grace is shut, we will be on the wrong side of that door. And when that door is shut, mercy is done. It's done forever and ever and ever. There was mercy provided for Noah and his family, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. God told Noah how to build, what to use, and what to put on, to put in the ark after it was finished. Genesis 6:22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. There's something that we need to remind ourselves, that this is the laws and the commandments of God. There's no excuse for any one of us to not to do our best in knowing what God expects of us. When the door of grace is shut and we stand before an almighty and a holy God, only this is going to judge us to either condemnation or a life with Jesus Christ in heaven forever. We have a responsibility to put our heart and our mind and our soul into seeking God, to find that favor in His eyes as we serve Him and we come before Him on the day when the door of grace is shut. Genesis 7:16. And they went, and brought in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. After the flood waters dried up, they left the ark. Genesis 8:20-22. I'd like to read those verses. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings unto the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For imagination of a man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore any living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. We will continue to observe winter, blowing snow, ice, freezing. I seeded this spring. I've done some harvesting. I'm hoping to do some more. Fall tillage will come, and it'll snow again until the end of the world. Regardless of climate change or emission issues, God will preserve His promises till the very end. And in that, we can rest assured that the promises of God's in God's word are truth. They are just and they're right. They're there for us. Matthew 24:36-39. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and caring and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also the coming of the Son of Man will be. And it goes on to share there of the various aspects of life, which I find and we find ourselves in today. Everyday living. The trumpet of the Lord will sound and time shall be no more, and the door of grace will be shut. Ephesians 2:4-5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. He provided salvation for all men. He saw the need of our unworthy condition before him. He recognized that and knew that we would need something more than what we can do on our own. And you and I can testify to that. Even as we become Christians and we fight with the carnal nature, we know where the power and the strength comes from. Try what you may, we will not win on those bases. I remember before I became a Christian, I got this inkling that I could, you know, live right. I could live moral, choosing right morals. I could stand strong. It was more so because I was trying to impress a girl, and I knew she was a Christian. And so I tried. It just didn't work. I had no strength within myself. Yes, there were certain things I could do for a certain amount of time, but I would weary. I would get weak in well-doing. I just couldn't do it. It was that then in my life is when I actually started feeling somewhat the Spirit of God speaking to me, and I started sensing from different things and happenings in my life that God was speaking to me and telling me that if you really want to live a victorious and a strong life with good morals, you need me. And so God started breaking me down, like I mentioned, with different situations in my life. Titus 3, verses 4 and 5, but after that, the kindness and love of God and our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Do you at times ask yourself the question, said it a little bit, mentioned it a bit before, how can I find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Like Noah and some of these men in the Bible, how can I come to the place where that grace is recognized by God and that his mercy would apply to me when he comes back or calls me home? Maybe like the Apostle Paul, you find there's a thorn in the flesh that continuously is disturbing you and distracting you. Maybe there's an enticing lust or something that just seems to come back that you just can't seem to overcome. And it's continuously haunting you. You're battling. That flesh just wants to feed it. You're struggling to overcome. Or just simply living with it righteously. You know, maybe it's a physical condition. Some people think that was Paul's problem with eyesight. You know, just the battle of that and accepting that and being willing to live with that and still reflect a joyful, righteous life. The struggle of the two natures. If you're honest with yourself this morning, with your brothers and sisters, each one of us have it. Somewhere, somewhat, probably something that hinders us more than other things. I've been amazed how I've been told that sometimes when a person gets old, all of a sudden it'll reveal some of their things from their childhood. You know, there's some struggles that I've faced in the last 5 years that I faced as a young boy. And I don't know where they came from or why. But some of it tells me is the enemy or the flesh is trying to take me back to the security I had before I was a Christian in dealing with some things that I struggled with and I went somewhere else. So I need to continually remind myself, like Noah, he sought God. In our time we live in, we have the Holy Spirit to work with us as we live here in life. So we got to remind ourselves that we have the Holy Spirit and we need to go to him for help in times of like this. Which brings us back to knowing that our security as Christians is in Jesus Christ, not in things of the flesh. One of the things that I did when I was trying to get morally straight before I was a Christian was I quit smoking and I started drinking a lot of coffee. I just placed one thing with another. Smoking is probably worse for you as far as the body or the effect on it. But if I make it a small god of drinking coffee, it's just as wrong as smoking. And I'm not placing my security in where I need to go. And that's in Jesus Christ, the solid rock, the foundation that never moves. He's there. He wants to help us through those times of struggle and battle. Let's go to Romans 7, verses 13 to 25. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might be become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would that I do not, but what I hate that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. The law reminds us of his holiness, justice, and good. It shows us that we are helpless under the control of sin. However, the law points us to Christ, the only one who can help us. Paul's experience is an example to all believers. I'm so grateful it's here for us today as we go through life and we recognize our own battles and who will help us win them. If the devil is trying to, or just your mind or your own flesh is trying to tell you you're the only one or the only believer with a sin struggle, I can assure you it's a lie. The same breath, do we willfully continue in sin? No, like I said, Romans 6 says, God forbid that we continue therein. So the gift that has been given to us has to be exercised. The Holy Spirit indwelling in us. We need to desire to be filled and have that connection and relationship with Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will enhance himself in us as we relate with him, as we communicate, as we get hungry after God, he's there. If we plead, if we continue to stay alive in the Word, in prayer, and allow the Spirit to speak to us. Take time in reflection and just quietly sitting before God. Turn your music off. I sometimes wonder how this generation can even worship. My son has a radio in his dairy barn, and it's often cranked to the moon. I just turn it right down so I can think. I can even hear myself think sometimes, you know. I'm not saying the music in itself is wrong, but I think sometimes we need to just stop, be still, and know that I am God. He wants to talk to you, but we need to take the time and be still and allow him to talk to us. Allow him to speak to us in a quiet way. Romans 8, 9 to 13. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, for if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. This word mortify, put to death. We need to put an end to it. You know, I battle a little bit. They don't call me a diabetic, but I'm close enough. I try and test every other day pretty much, and some mornings it's worse than others. Kind of depends what I eat. The doctor sent me to learn how to eat better, that I don't eat foods that create sugar. And so, yes, breads and all that good, yummy stuff, I got to just use a lot of temperance. You know, those cravings, and I think this is where we can remind ourselves that God gave us a mind. You know, we're saying, yes, the Holy Spirit, and only through Jesus Christ can we get victory. That's true, but God gave us a mind, and he gave us a mind to choose. So from that perspective, we can choose. I can choose what I eat. When I get a craving for something that is sugar or something that will create sugar, I can choose to eat something that doesn't do that in my body, and it'll take care of that hunger spot in my stomach. So rather than eating a piece of bread or chips or some of that good stuff, you know, you eat the stuff that's not as good, celery and stuff like that, that doesn't have as much flavor, and it kind of takes care of that. But that's a choice, and sometimes it's incredibly hard. You know, food in itself, we don't have to choose to hate, but sin we do. If we choose to hate it, it will eventually go away from the desire of our heart. And so we have to choose to hate it. We have to recognize that God hates it, so I want to hate it. So pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit would give you the power to actually hate the thing you're battling with. If there's sin in your life that you're extremely battling with, pray that God would give you the power to hate it. He will. He'll give you that power. He will give you that power. Now, don't think it's a one-time deal. Pray without ceasing. It's a part of the Christian life. We're warriors for Jesus. And in that, we've got to fight. We've got to keep our armor on, and we've got to keep going. We can't lay it down. We've got to go until he comes and shuts the door of grace. Then it's over. We can rest. We can say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. I made it. I'm so grateful for your love. Romans 12b says, abhor that which is evil, also a hate. Mortify, I got them mixed up here. Mortify is put to death. Just get rid of it. Abhor that which is evil means to hate it. And then Psalm 34:14a, and there's other scriptures in the Bible, but that's the verse that came to me that says, depart from evil. Walk away from it. There are choices we need to make sometimes that we walk away, that we stay away from it, that we are not feeding that hunger. You know, my wife knows to keep some stuff out of the way for me, and it's good for me, that it's not out in the open. Christmas is extremely hard when the candies are sitting out. I love candy. So you put it away. Stay away from it. Sin, and that thing that feeds us, we need to walk away. Go the other way. If there's things that you cannot handle as a person, don't do it. If there's temptations that come with certain things in life, don't do it. Walk away. Ephesians 4, 22, 23, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Think different. As Christians, we think different. We have to think towards Jesus, towards power through the Holy Spirit. We have to think that we have no continuing city here, but we're seeking one to come. Our whole vision ought to be different than the world in general. Our vision ought to be to take as many with us that we can to that celestial city that God's preparing for those that love Him, and help more people get there, that they're on the right side of the door when the door of grace is shut. Luke 1:50. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. This fear is a positive note. This fear is a note of respect and honor to a holy God. We don't have to fear Him if we serve Him, if we love Him, if we desire Him. He's not there with a big stick to catch you and destroy you. He wants you. His mercy is tremendous. Because He wants you with Him. But He's allowing us all to make that choice every day. God would never go back on a promise that He's given us, and that is He's made us creatures of choice, even though He'd like to do everything He could to pull you into the fold of God if you're not there. His mercy endureth forever. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jude 20 and 21, but ye beloved, be holding up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God. Look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. John 3:33, he that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. Truth is an establishment. It's right, it's stable, it's firm. That's God. God is truth. It's a certainty. It's a fact. It's a foundation that's firm and unmovable. It's truth. It's right. John 7:18, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Righteousness, right and moral, forensic. It's just. Truth has made us just through Jesus Christ. Truth brings justice. Justify denotes the act of pronouncing righteousness. Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. The righteous justification through Jesus Christ, as we in faith accept this gift, follow Him, and obey His word. Just like Noah. He did what God commanded. He took the words at the time, or the scroll possibly God wrote out for him, I don't know, or in word, and wrote it down himself, I don't know. But he obeyed what God had called him to do. I said before, we have the Word of God. We have the privilege of reading the Word of God, but it's our choice. Remember, the door of grace will shut, and we'll be judged upon the very fact of the truth of God and His Word. It's up to us which side of the door we are. The meeting of mercy and justice. Mercy and truth meet righteousness, and peace will kiss. And we will be on the right side when the doors of grace closes. God bless you.